This is a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people.
When you travel to Thailand, you become well acquainted with chili seeds. It's true. For the language buffs in the room, if you ever go on a mission trip, here's some Thai that comes in handy at local restaurants and establishments. My pet, my pet. Everyone say my pet. My pet. That means not spicy. And in return, they might say something like Farang, which means white person. They see us from a mile out. And throughout the trip, we tasted many weird, wonderful, and wacky dishes. We'll be careful not to mention the ones that made us very sick, talking both ends, all that sort of stuff. We won't mention those meals, but no matter what the dish, it seemed chili was either a staple ingredient or a strongly recommended suggestion. And I'm amazed how one tiny chili can infect the whole pot. How can something so small pack so much heat? I brought a chili with me today. It is tiny. It cost me 3 cents, but it could leave you panting for relief. And as we went on our global exposure trip, I filmed many people panting in relief, just begging for a glass of milk. I won't show those tonight because they probably have videos of me and I don't want them to pay it back. It's amazing how a few chili seeds in a pot causes heat, tears, sweat, blush, and taste. And this is what the kingdom of God is like in Thailand. It's a simple parable, but for those of you who don't understand, when you throw a few humble missionaries, Moana, Glenn, Liz, Vili, the people we met, into a melting pot of Buddhism, Hinduism, atheism, and fish sauce, entire communities feel the effect. And in time, by the grace of God, the entire nation may taste different. I am inspired by the kingdom of God. My question is, are you? Perhaps you're in the room and you're as excited as I am. You're firing on all cylinders. And I pray this sermon may encourage you. But perhaps you're in the room and you are tired, uninspired. Kingdom of God, shmingdom of shmod. I pray as we learn together today, God may ignite passion within us and bring us fire like a chili seed. We're going to be going through the book of Matthew. And we're going to be looking at chapter 13, verses 31. I couldn't pass up the opportunity to speak on this great parable we're going to find in the Word today. And we're just going to go through this simple parable tonight, and we're going to see what God might ignite within us. It begins like this. He, Jesus, put another parable before them. Before we go too far, let's just discuss what parable means. If you haven't been in church for a long time, maybe the words like metaphor or simile or allegory would make more sense to you. But a parable is an imaginary story for the purpose of comparison. And it's occasionally jarring and provocative, particularly when Jesus used them. They were jarring and provocative. And Jesus used them a lot. It says that Jesus always used stories whenever he preached. He loved telling these stories. He loved telling these parables. And he told this story to them. Who is them? Well, at this point, Jesus had such a massive following, such a massive crowd. They're all trying to touch him. They're all trying to crowd around him. So he learned a trick. He would go down to the sea or the lake, and he would let all the crowd stand on the bank, and he would get on his jet ski and go out about 5 meters on the jet ski and stand on the back of the jet ski and then preach to everyone on the shore. Jesus loves jet skis. That's not the point of this sermon. And the people on the shore, well, were his disciples. His disciples included people aged 15 to 30. In fact, most scholars would say most likely, gotquestions.com says that they were most likely late teens, early 20s. And then the broader crowd were likely intergenerational. Let's think about that for 1 second. Who are Jesus' leaders in his church movement? They're the young people, they're the teenagers, they're the young adults. And those teenagers and young adults are the ones that are then going forth and teaching and creating community with the elder generations. Just sit with that for a moment. And Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven? Jesus' dominion, rule, and reign. It is invisible and within us. In Luke 17, someone comes up to Jesus and they're like, well, you know, what is this? What is this kingdom of heaven? What's the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus says, you can't always see it. It is within us. As a Christian, I believe when we invite Jesus into our heart, we become part of his kingdom. It's within us. Sometimes it's invisible. Sometimes you can't see it. Sometimes you can't see it on the move. But this is the dominion, rule, and reign of Jesus, which will eventually come when he comes back for the second time, and he rules over everyone, and every knee will bow, every mouth will confess. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard. I did some deep theological study. Mustard is a tasty yellow saucy condiment used on hot dogs. It's like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds. Not true, but you get the point. I don't think Jesus necessarily intentionally made a mistake, but he certainly was hyperbolizing. It is not the smallest seed, but you get the point. It's a pretty small seed. This is most likely a black mustard tree. You've seen those little tiny mustard seeds. You get the point. Jesus is making a point here. It's small and it's insignificant. And so it's like the smallest of all seeds that a man plants in his field, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that all the birds of the air may come and make nests in its branches. From little things, big things grow. It doesn't really become a tree, but this small mustard seed grows into a plant 4 meters high, up to 4 meters high. From little things, big things grow. The kingdom of heaven is like this small, insignificant seed that when it's planted, it grows. And all the birds of the air, who are the birds of the air? You know, the Bible, the Old Testament, the first half of this book that's much more difficult to understand, talks about birds being clean and unclean. There's different kinds of birds. Some of them are clean, some of them are unclean. And Jesus says here that the birds of the air, all the birds of the air, the clean birds and the unclean birds, come to rest in the mustard bush. And Jesus' kingdom is open to all. Predominantly, Jesus is predicting the fact that he'll reach Jews and Gentiles. Jews are people, they come from Israel, they have Jew in their blood. Gentiles are everyone else. Pop quiz, is anyone of Jewish heritage? No. Oh, David Moore of Jewish, I knew you were a blessed man. No wonder. Well, David Moore, he gets to be in the Jewish category. The rest of us, we're Gentiles. Luckily, the kingdom of heaven is for us, and it is for him. Do you understand? It's for birds of all kinds, that they make nests in its branches. Also in the Old Testament, prophets, as in people who would predict the future and, you know, try to predict what Jesus would be like. Ezekiel, one of these prophets, said concerning Jesus that he'll be like a tree where birds of every kind will nest in it and they will find shelter in the shade of its branches. What a great parable. But there is something you need to know. This parable is provocative and scandalous. It is subversive and scandalous. For black mustard is a malignant weed with dangerous takeover properties. In fact, in some places in the USA, the plant is completely banned because, honestly, it gets into farmers' trucks and then it takes over entire parking lots. This is a weed. It's brutal. Provocative. Firstly, this reveals something about Jesus' teaching style. To be honest, the pious, educated Bible scholars, the Bible boomers, would have said, those crowds and those young disciples, they just like him because he's energetic and he tells stories and his sermons are exciting and provocative. Sometimes the exciting provocateurs are preaching in vain. That is true. But often in that, there is truth. In wisdom, Jesus spoke in a way that engaged everyone. He was as wise as a serpent, yet harmless as a dove. He was all things to all men. He put the hay where the horses could eat it. And in his exciting, provocative style, he speaks of this kingdom which spreads rapidly like a weed that breaks through the fences of fields and the edges of gardens. It's a plant that causes stress and attracts pests. You know, gardeners, farmers, they don't want birds in their field. They don't want that. They don't want weeds taking all over their crops. They don't want to cause stress with the farmer next door. Oh no, it's spread through the field and that farmer's going to have a go at me and now there's birds attacking his field. Farmers don't want that. Yet in this story, the farmer plants it anyway. And this is what the kingdom of God is like. Consider with me for a moment Thailand. The message of the gospel in this region is provocative. It's a seed the locals have no desire for. On our exposure trip, we met individuals who were kicked out of their family for being part of Christian community. Kicked out of their families. And at this small faith community, I was preaching in English and Moana was translating. And afterwards he said, if you notice some people getting distracted sometimes, it's because they could hear the next door neighbors complaining and gossiping about what we were doing. Complaining and gossiping about what the neighbors perceive to be a weed. But in Thailand, you can't stop what God is doing. At this small faith community where the next door neighbors were complaining, one of the men, it was only his third time coming to the small faith community. He was a staunch Buddhist, like a really educated Buddhist. It was only his third time. And he came up to me and Moana, the true missionary called to that region, and he gave us his name written on a little piece of paper. His name was Samsak. And he had it on written in Thai. I couldn't read it. Moana had to tell me. He gave us the name. And Moana said, he just wants you to pray for him. He wants you to pray for him, remember him and pray for him. And a week later, Moana, we were driving around with the missionary again. And he said, I didn't really give you the full story in the moment. But he said, when this man handed over that piece of paper, he used some Thai words. And in that culture, it's very important that basically meant, my life is in your hands. Or teach me the way. A man, staunch Buddhist, his whole life, spends three sessions in a small faith community. And I think I got an honorary name on a piece of paper. I think he was really giving it to Moana, saying, Moana, I want to know this new way of Jesus. My life is in your hands. Disciple me. Consider Thailand. You can't stop this weed. And consider the work of our church. This is our youth ministry. It is a crazy bunch. It was tribe wars on Friday night. Thank goodness there's no holes in any of the walls. It was our biggest night yet of the year so far, and BAM camp is booming, and these are birds of all kinds. I would say 50% of our youth are not yet committed Christians. I would say that's a stat. Yet they keep coming every week. And on Friday night, I learned the best crowd control technique you've ever heard. And multiple times during this tribe wars, I would just say, in the midst of all the noise and all the chaos, let us pray. And you would be shocked how a room of this size, Christian and non-Christian, have learned to come like to a place like this, and they've learned respect enough that I tell you what, if I said, let us pray, within a few seconds, the room would fall silent. Isn't that amazing that we're attracting birds of all kinds? They're finding rest in that short moment of prayer. I would say some insignificant yet meaningful prayer like, God bless us tonight. And then I'd explain the rules of the next game. It was great. It was great. Josh Kay was particularly impressed with the amount of prayer we had on Friday night. You know, our youth ministry, this church is supporting a youth ministry that has always grown like a weed. And it is a weed, because I've heard stories of previous youth pastors getting the youth ministry kicked out of entire McDonald's after Friday nights. It's been growing. It grew under Andrew Palmer, Phil Pallas, Benj Gould. Sometimes it grew numerically, and sometimes it grew in the faith of the kids, and sometimes it grew in the Bible knowledge. It's always grown. And when I am long gone, this weed is going to continue to grow and cause havoc amongst our church as they mosh pit on baptism nights. It's never going to stop. It's never going to stop. You can't stop the weed. And I would love you also to consider the seed of faith, that God is planting within the hearts of theologians, pastors, and myself. Those who believe that we are in the middle of a cultural shift. I and many others believe with every fiber of our being that this mustard seed weed must expand beyond the fences and barriers we have constructed to see the kingdom expand. To see the kingdom expand. And with your permission, I would love to share some of my heart about what is next for me. We see a new way. Not a new religion, not a new understanding of the Bible, a new way to reach people with the gospel, and a new way to engage in Christian community. If you're okay with it, I'd love to share with you the dream. This church has always been a kingdom perspective church, and in light of that, Travis has encouraged me to share more of the heart and practical outworkings of what is next for me when I leave at some point in term two to begin some new ministry endeavors. This, a new way, will be a non-profit, Christian non-profit, committed to the gospel and exploring and experimenting with online media and in-person events to see everyday Australians and individuals disillusioned with the church find community. There are between 2.5 and 7% of Australians currently in institutional churches like this one. That's us. We are here. We're in this style of church, and it is working for us. But there are another 54% of Australians who are open to the idea of a higher power, perhaps even a Christian higher power, yet they have no place where they feel comfortable to learn about him. And perhaps they could enter a church like this, but most don't. A new way is for them. Similarly, as I've been sharing my heart and vision with people around our church community, the thing I hear most is parents who have adult children or younger who just wish their kids were still in church. And almost all of them come up to me and cry, wishing that their kids were still in church. And this new way is also for them. It would be prideful for us to think, because this style of church works for us, that it should work for everyone. But statistically, it doesn't. Well, I am on a mission to find the birds of all kinds and introduce them to the kingdom of God, where they can make a nest and where they can find rest. Now, that seems like a big vision, but it's real. It's on my heart. And I know that can be hard for some people to understand. It's just like a mustard seed. It's always been there. It's always been there. I remember being about 2018, around that age range, and I was sitting around with a group of adults, and, you know, it was the classic questions at Bible studies and things like, oh, what do you want to be when you grow up? What does the future hold for you? And I remember so boldly saying something, probably as in a prideful state at that point, like, I think there's a Christian cultural revolution coming, and I want to be at the forefront of the people who are heading up that revolution. And I don't remember that moment because it felt good. I remember that moment because people looked at me like, who's this guy think he is? What's this guy on? That's a bit prideful, that's a bit much. It's almost like sometimes when you have a dream, it can feel like you're the bad guy for having it. It was so small. And I remember that like 10 years ago, having that dream. And it still exists today. And after seeing a generation through youth ministry, we have 16 year 12s coming to our BAM camp this year. I was there when they were all in year 7. It is no easy feat to retain 16 kids all the way from year 7 to year 12. It hardly happens. But I've been got by the grace of God, he's allowed that to happen. I'm so excited for this last BAM camp to see that generation through. And I'm so excited to see where the youth ministry will go. But I'm also excited for what God might want to do in the lives of some people in our church. So let me explain to you the practical outworking of how A New Way will actually work. It's a non-profit that will do 3 distinct things. Firstly, shout out to Emily, who designed all of this artwork and made the font. This is unbelievable. Some people are so talented. It starts with a seed. The seed is the timeless gospel, the story of Jesus. This is where it all begins. If you were to ask me what is the vision, this book. If you were to ask me what is the heart, this book. If you were to ask me where it begins, this book. The seed is also a dream that I hold within me, a dream that some of you have within you. And the first thing I would like to do as part of this nonprofit is record an audio Bible. I would like to read through the NLT from front to back in 30-minute episodes via podcast. The NLT, because that's sort of one that's easy to read, yet still very theologically accurate. And throughout, I would like to provide some commentary as well. I believe it'll take me about 1 day a week for an entire year to do the editing right, to re-record, all those sorts of different things. It'll be a pretty hard task. Why am I doing that? Because statistics say that only 3% of young Christians read their Bible regularly. 3%. We all say we read it lots, and if I walk into any one of our young people at youth, they'll say, yeah, I'm reading my Bible, but the truth is only 3% really are. So we tell them to read audio Bibles, but the truth is they're just a little bit dry. They're often hard translations. In 10 years in ministry, I haven't found one that people can fully engage with. Maybe you've had the same experience as me. There is a James Earl Jones one where he reads the King James Version. That's the actor who played Darth Vader. I'm sure it's very interesting. Jesus, I am your father, all that sort of stuff I'm sure comes out in the audio Bible. But that's not what me and people like me are into. The Bible's hard to read as it is. Maybe it should be read with some energy and passion. And so that is my first task. I want to devote a day a week to recording an audio Bible that everyone can engage with. It's important we put the hay where the horses can eat it. And plus, podcasts are booming at the moment. I mean, look at podcasts in the world. A lot of us are starting to get into podcasts. Why wouldn't we embrace a medium that people are already using? So I'm excited to spend a day a week on the audio Bible. It starts with the seed. Then comes the gathering, the community, or the sundown session. Then comes the gathering, community, or the sundown session. This is where the weed starts to spread. Imagine with me, and you're going to have to use your imagination, this is what I see. It's a Wednesday afternoon at the waterfront, maybe the waterfront scout hall. It's 5 o'clock. There's a bunch of people playing Finsker and throwing a footy and laughing at me every time I drop it or miss the 12 that I'm going for in Finsker. And at some point, everyone's just playing footy and throwing a Finsker, and someone comes out with a guitar around their shoulder, and they just yell out the door of the scout hall, okay, everyone, we're going to sing a few songs now. And everyone sort of waddles into the scout hall, and there's a guy with a guitar, and there's a few chairs set out, and maybe it's a bit dim, maybe there's some fairy lights, and we just start singing some songs, and maybe there's words on the screen, or maybe people find them on their phones. And at some point, the music stops, and there's like a loaf of bread and juice in the corner. And whoever was silly enough to sit next to the loaf of bread and the juice, well, I say to them, hey, can you please start passing around the bread and the juice? We're going to have communion. And so the person who's sitting next to the bread and juice is like, oop, okay, guess we're passing around the bread and we're handing out the juice. And then there might be a short Christian talk, a very theological, stock standard, Christian faith-based message, short, easy to understand. And then people go and play Finsker again, so long as no one wants to sing another song. And if on a certain week there's no one available to play the guitar, well, we just won't have music. Maybe we'll do some time of prayer and play Finsker a little extra longer because, well, that can be worship too. And maybe sometimes there are words, maybe sometimes there's not. And this community will be distinct in a few ways. Firstly, it won't be primarily on a weekend. The idea is that it'll be midweek because church doesn't need to be on a Sunday. Plus adult soccer's on a Sunday, plus a lot of people like going camping these days. Plus people work on Sundays. Another distinct is that there'll be no titles or designations. So there'll be no pastors, priests, there'll be no fathers or vicars. I had an interesting experience where I conducted my cousin's wedding in Adelaide just a few weeks ago. And the bride, their grandparents, strict Catholic. And after the ceremony, they all came up to me and they sort of almost bowed and called me Father. Thank you, Father. And I didn't have the heart to say to these sweet old people, you don't need to call me Father. I'm just a dude. But some people are so caught up in the titles and designations. Another distinctive is that there won't be rosters. So the idea would be that I, as a maybe a staff member, would do things like put out the seats. And there wouldn't be rosters because it would be a place to de-stress. And the idea would be, you know what, if someone forgets to buy the bread, we just won't do communion. If there's no guitarists here that week, we just won't do music. You know, we'll just keep it easy and simple and adapt to whatever it is. It won't be unprofessional. A lot of work will go into it. I'm just suggesting that won't be done by the attendees, unless an attendee comes along and is like, oh, can I help you with the chairs? And I'll say, yes, please. The gathering, the community, the sundown session. Do not neglect the gathering of believers. And then the third component will be the outreach, the community chaplaincy, the Bible study for the open. I'm increasingly meeting people who want to learn and ask questions about Jesus. Increasingly. But those people just aren't interested in coming to a traditional church or going to a traditional Bible study. Oftentimes churches, the vision of Bible study is like we have our community, so we're spread off into groups to form deeper community. And that's very important. That's very important. Is that you, Kerry? That's very funny. I saw you. I saw you. We have a church and then we split off into groups to form deeper community. And that's very important. It is working so well for our church. And big thanks to Pastor Johnny for creating that vision here at NVBC. But imagine if a small Bible study that's easy access was the first point of contact for people who are seeking thoughts about Christianity. Now imagine that Bible study is run at a bar and everyone is having a Corona with lime. Not the people under 18, of course. There'd be a different Bible study for them. But you get the point. There is nothing better than teaching the Bible while holding a certain type of beverage. You know, I'm that kind of guy. Do you understand? I'm a bit, yeah. Okay, you understand. We have programs where we often try to answer questions we think people have. But I want to answer the questions they actually have. Do you know how you allow that to happen? You let them ask questions. And you see, when you teach people and they become part of community, it's actually the birds that end up spreading the seeds further by eating them and dropping them wherever they may go. This is my heart. This is my vision. I think it'll take me about 4 days a week. I'll probably spend a day a week on the Bible study, a few days a week on the gathering, and one day a week on the audio Bible. And that is what I'll be doing when I depart NVBC. I'm even committed to do it for at least a year with no income, if the income doesn't come. Because I believe in this deeply with all my heart. Because there's people in our churches. I read an interesting statistic by the Barna Group that says 17% of Christians attending church feel like they are forced to be there. I don't know whether that's the husbands or the wives, or it might be the children. No, the statistic only interviewed adults. 17%. I don't know if that's you. But there's a lot of people that this works for, and it's amazing to see the flourishing nature of our church. We just had a welcome to church lunch, and it was packed, it was full. There were so many people at our welcome to church lunch. You know, so many people, the 2.5 to 7% love this. But I'm thinking about the others, and that's where I want to go. I want this weed to spread. And I'm not, you know what, it's not just about the seed of faith that's within me. What's the seed of faith within you? Where is the kingdom of God that is within you meant to spread? To your next door neighbors, to your soccer club? Where is the seed that's within you meant to spread? Because this isn't really a sermon about me and my dreams. It's a sermon about all of us. We all have the seed of the kingdom within us. And wherever we go, we carry it. And it should spread like a weed. It really should. So I'm excited. After we finish up, I'm going to stand by the info desk, which is going to be to the right of all the cheese. I've got a few sheets of paper. And the truth is, I need help. I need help from people with wisdom and ideas. I need help from people through prayer. I need help from people. One day I'll need help with finances, but the way that we're going to work that out is I'd rather do that anonymously, and hopefully the church will be able to set up a way for you to be able to give anonymously so that we're not caught up in all that sort of stuff, and it'll be above board and above reproach because finances need to be handled really diligently. But ultimately, what I really love is prayer and just your thoughts. If you have expertise in things like, I don't know, insurance, I would love your advice. If you have expertise in things like how to hire a scout hall, I would love your advice. If you have contacts, or if you're sitting in the room and you're one of the 17% and you're like, oh, wow, this speaks to me. I crave something like this. I hope it ignites a passion within you, and I hope you're able to eventually book me for a dinner or a coffee and we can talk more. If you want any information whatsoever, or even just for me to send you a newsletter, on the three sheets of paper out at the info desk, I'd just love you to put your name and your email address down, and I will contact you and I'll say, hey, you put your name and email address down. Thanks. What? How can I help? What should we do? Should we book in a beer at the Hawkesbury Brewing Co? Something like that. Or if you're a youth, a hot chocolate. Like it. What's the best cafe around here? Three Trees. Let's have a hot chocolate at Three Trees and talk about maybe what the seed of faith within you is, or the seed of faith within me. In true interdenominational style, I prepared this using my Lutheran study Bible, my ESV study Bible, and gotquestions.com, which is the most amazing resource. If you have questions about Christianity, use it. And each passage ends with a little encouragement and a prayer. It's always very simple. And to end today, I'm going to read that for us. Jesus' ministry had humble beginnings, but its expansion has been miraculous. God uses even our small efforts to accomplish his purposes. And here is the prayer. Lord Jesus, use my feeble testimony to further the growth of your great kingdom. Amen.
This has been a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people. To continue the conversation, we invite you to join us Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. or on our website at www.nvbc.info.